mind, we'll read the scripture, and I'll read a little bit, and we'll see where we end up. But tonight, I want to look at this passage of scripture. God just revealed some things to me, and I don't want you to. I'm wanting to get it out, and so we're going to do the best that we can to do that. All right, Psalm chapter number 73. The Bible starts off in verse number 1 and says, "Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart." So the Bible starts off the psalmist. This is Asaph, by the way. And he starts off with a declaration. As I said already, any one of us would make the same declaration that God is good. Right? "Truly," he says, "God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart." Verse number 2, he goes on to say, "But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped." I mean, we're going to get into this and we're going to learn a little bit about Asaph, but I want you to know something right off the bat. This was the choir director. This was the worship leader. And he says, "But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped." Why? Verse number 3, "For I was envious at the foolish." I need somebody to help me right here. Ooh, I mean, he didn't say I was envious of the wise. He didn't say I was envious. He said, I mean, he just comes out and says it. He was envious at the foolish. "When I saw the prosperity of the wicked." Asaph, in his mind, says God is good, but God should only be good to me. Oh, I need somebody to help me. His mindset was God was good, but he should only be good to me. Not to the wicked. And so he was envious. The Bible says that the foolish, at least by the time he wrote this, he was able to admit that it was foolishness. But he goes on, he says, "For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm." Now he's just exaggerating. He says there's no pain in their death. There are no pangs in their death. He says their strength is firm. He's talking about the wicked. He's talking about those that are without God. He's talking about those that are without the house of God. He says, man, they don't suffer. Their strength is firm. Come on, man. Let's not act like we ain't never had these thoughts before. Let's not act like we've never gone to God and say, why am I having to go through this? And these people over here that don't even love the Lord, don't even come to church, don't even want nothing to do with you, they seem to be prospering. This is where Asaph is at. He said, what's going on, God? What's going on? How many Christians have dealt with this? I know I have. I'll go ahead and be the first. If you're too ashamed to raise your hand, I'll raise it for you. Praise God. There's been times when I said, God, what is going on? Why am I suffering? Why am I being persecuted? Why am I going through these things and their bank account's getting fatter? Everything they touch seems to be prospering. Everything they do, you seem to be pouring out your blessings on them when I've sacrificed so much. Oh, I'm telling you, this is a mindset that is, it's in the church. It's in Christianity. And it goes all the way back to the children of Israel. They said, would to God, was there not enough graves in Egypt? Would to God, you would have left us in bondage. I need somebody to help me. We get saved and God starts doing something in our life and then it ain't good enough and we start looking back to the old life, start looking back to the wicked and say, hey, we had it better when we was before we got saved. And Asaph is saying, hey man, they ain't no suffering in them. Look at the next verse, verse number 5. They are not in trouble as other men. Neither are they plagued like other men. He's talking about the wicked. This is his mindset and his perception of it. Let's keep going. Verse number 6, therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. He said, God, you've not kept anything from them. I can't even have a new car. And they got three of them. I can't have a new boat. And they got six of them. I can't have a house. And they have vacation homes. I can't even afford to do what I'd like to do, God. But yet, they got more money than they could ever spend. He goes on, he says, they are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. The ones that are cursing you, God, seem to be getting the blessings. The ones that have raised up their voice against you, God, not the ones in the church praising you, not the one leading worship, but the wicked seem to be getting more and more rich. Everything their hand touches seems to prosper. So he goes and gives us a glimpse of more of his mindset in verse number 13. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. You know what he says right here? He says, why am I living in obedience to you when I'm not being blessed like that? In other words, I'm living in obedience to you in vain. If the wicked prosper, then let's just all be wicked. Y'all okay? I mean, is that not what he says? He says, verily, I'm doing all this. I'm living a holy, consecrated life to you in vain. If all you're going to do is bless everybody else. If you're going to bless the wicked, then why am I living a holy life and a consecrated life? I need somebody to help me. Y'all know this is right in your lunch. I'm talking about this all up in your breakfast bowl. I mean, it's sitting down on your grits looking at you going, remember me? I know. How do you know, preacher? Because it was messing with me. Because I have been here. I have been here not only early in my Christian life, but I've been here as a pastor. Right where he's at. How is it that they're persecuting me and persecuting the church and persecuting you, and yet they seem to be prospering? And oh yeah. He says in verse number 14, for all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. Oh, then he starts exaggerating about how God's treating him. Man, I've done all this in vain. All you do, God, all day long is plague me and chasten me. Every morning. Every morning I get up and you whip my behind. Is everybody all right? Every morning I get up and it's some other problem. He hadn't read that verse that says, the compassions of the Lord faileth not. His mercies are new every morning. He didn't get that verse. He was stuck in the, you plaguing me every day and chastening me every morning. Everybody all right? I mean, hey, we do realize, right? This is the worship leader. Don't sound like there's going to be a whole lot of worship going on this Sunday morning. Right? Is everybody okay? Verse number 15. I know we're taking some time, but it'll be all right. If I say I will speak thus, Behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. I'll explain this in detail later. But let me just say this. This gives us a glimpse that everything that I've read so far is an internal battle. He's not vocalized it. This is him pouring his heart out to God in prayer, not complaining to the congregation about what's going on in his heart. He's saying, if I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. In other words, God, I ain't going to say this out loud, but this is how I really feel. Oh, I need somebody to help me right here. God, come Sunday morning, I'm going to stand up in church and I'm going to raise my hand, but I want you to know something right in here. I ain't feeling it. I'm going to shout amen when the preacher says amen, but right here, I ain't feeling it. I'm going to stand to my feet when they say there's power in the blood, but right here, I ain't feeling it. I'm going to go down to the altar because the preacher's going to make me feel bad and guilt trip me into it, but right here, I ain't feeling it. Everybody all right? I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. But right here, I ain't feeling it. Have you been there? Come on now, I need somebody that's been through the motions. I need somebody to just get honest tonight and say, preacher, I've gone through the motions. I've showed up at church. I've paid my vows. I've done my thing. I've done my ministry. I've worked and done what is expected out of me. But in my heart, I question, what in the world is God doing? What in the world is God doing? Verse number 16, listen to him. He says, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. He said, man, when I begin to search this thing out to figure out why, he said, man, it troubled me. I was struggling. This man was in an internal battle, a struggle, trying to understand why God would be merciful and kind and good to the wicked when it seemed like he was plagued and chastened every single day. Oh, but things are about to change. Verse number 17, things change. He says, I was troubled. I wanted to know when I was troubled by what was going on. He says, y'all read it with me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. Is that not what it said? I mean, you reading your Bible, but you can read it on screen. He said, all this battle was going on in me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Now I'm going to stop right there. We're going to preach on the rest of the, I'm going to preach on right on through the end of the chapter. But I'm going to stop right there because something changed in his life and it happened in the house of God. I need somebody to hear me. See, the fact of the matter is we're going to go through this real quickly. I'm going to try my best to get us through this tonight, but I want you to notice that you and I live in slippery places. As a matter of fact, that's what he says about the wicked in verse number 18. He says, surely thou didst set them in slippery places. But understand this, in verse number 2, he said, what did he say? He said, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. He said, hey, you've set the wicked in slippery places. But he said, I got to a place in my walk with you where I was a-slipping. I was real close. I need somebody to hear me. I was real close to slipping. It was close, preacher. Can I say this? I think I titled this, A Faith That's Slipping. Because I believe every one of us can identify with a faith that's slipping. In other words, when you and I, as the psalmist did right here, when you and I get the perception that God is better to somebody else than he is to me, we're slipping. He starts questioning his faith. He starts questioning what he knows about God. Because as far as he knows, God is the God of Israel. So why is he blessing the heathen? What most of us don't understand is that sometimes and a lot of times God ain't the one blessing the heathen. I need somebody to hear me right here. I want you to notice three things, women. I'll be done. I want you to notice the reality of a slipping faith. I want to say this about it. It is common. It is common. It is common. That means that it happens more than you and I care to admit. Everybody look up here at me and understand this. At some point in your walk with God, and maybe right now in your walk with God, you are facing a slipping faith. You're just like the psalmist. My steps had well not, you're walking on the edge. When we get our eyes off of God and get our eyes on people, and I'm getting way ahead of myself, but when you and I get our eyes off of God and get our eyes on people, we begin to slip. And the reality is that there is, the reality of a slipping faith is it is common. The reality of a slipping faith is it doesn't care about your credentials. Did you hear what I said? This is Asaph. This is an appointed worship leader. This is one of the Levites, one of God's people. And here he is struggling, leading worship, and slipping in his faith. This man wrote 12 Psalms. This man was not only considered a psalmist, not only was he a skilled singer, not only was he a skilled on the instrument, but this man was a prophet as well. And yet, he gets brutally honest with us and says, I was slipping. Man, y'all better help me tonight. I know ain't nobody happy right now, but we will be in a little bit, all right? So stay with me. If he can slip, then any one of us can. I mean, this is the one that stood up before the congregation of Israel and led them into the presence of God. But internally, he said, man, I'm struggling. I am envious of a lifestyle, but I ain't so bad off that I'm gonna say it out loud. Is everybody all right? That brings me to the third part of that reality of a slipping faith. Not only do we see it's common and its credentials, but I want you to notice this: it's concealed. Oh man, we wouldn't say it out loud, because to do that would have, that would be to admit that we question God. And we ain't gonna do that. I need somebody, gotta help me. We ain't gonna do that. I'm not gonna question God. Who am I to question God while on the inside, God, why are you doing this? Oh, the reality is this. Anybody can slip. The reality is it doesn't matter who you are. It's more common than you think. And it's hid. It's concealed. In other words, you and I are going to church with people who are slipping in their faith. They've got you fooled. They've got their Sunday school teacher fooled. They got the ministry leaders fooled. But in their heart, they are slipping away. And if they don't get a hold of it, it won't be long, and their foot will slip right on out the door. There was a time in this church, man, where we were packed out on a Sunday morning. We were packed out. We were doing good on Sunday night and on Wednesday night. I remember keeping records of how many people were here on Sunday night and Wednesday night, and we were running 200 people on Sunday night and on Wednesday night. Little pandemic comes along. Government tells us, hey, don't go to church now. You'll get COVID at church. You're a lot safer at Walmart. Oh, y'all stay with me. You're a lot safer at Walmart. You're a lot safer at the liquor store. You can go to the liquor store, drink all you want to drink, because that's essential, but church is not essential, and you need to be careful, because when you walk in the doors of a church, COVID will jump on you. You can go to the restaurant, but as soon as you get in there, you hurry up and sit down, because COVID won't get you on your butt. Y'all realize how stupid we've been? COVID won't get you on your butt. You got to hurry up, get to your seat, and sit down. You can pull your mask off, and you're safe. No more COVID as long as you're sitting on your butt. I mean, if you stand up, there's a good chance you're going to get COVID. But if you'll sit down on your butt, I need somebody to help me. I'm surprised we ain't got idiots running around in Walmart talking about. Everybody all right? You're safe on your butt, apparently, because when you get on your butt, you can take your mask off. We've allowed that to come into our lives, and the government told us, hey, y'all don't need to be meeting for church. Then all these spiritual Christians who don't tithe, don't hardly come to church and everything else, started telling preachers, hey, y'all don't need to be having church. Mm-hmm. You're endangering people. Let me tell you something, brother. I promise you this. I'd rather somebody be saved and get COVID and die and go to heaven than for us to stop church and for them to die from COVID and go to hell. Is everybody all right? The reality is that more people are slipping than we care to admit. And if we're not careful, if the worship leader can slip, then you and I can too. Can I move on? I got to move real quickly here. Not only do we see the reality of a slipping faith, but we see the recognition of a slipping faith. I noticed this about Asaph. He shows us the reality of it, but he recognized it. I want you to notice with me the recognition of a slipping faith. His focus got off. Stay right here with me. Preacher, how do I know when I'm slipping? His focus got off. See, when you first got saved, you was focused on God. But when you go to slipping, you start putting your eyes on everybody else. Asaph admitted, he said, hey, my focus has gotten sideways because when I look at the wicked, he says, I'm envious of them. Oh, I need somebody to help me. Come on now. When I look here, when I get my focus here, then I know my faith is starting to slip. Preacher, but I did this and I did that and God hadn't rewarded me. But yet I look over here at them and they don't even come to church and God seems to be rewarding them. Preacher, how do I recognize if my faith is slipping? When your focus gets in the wrong place. When you come to church and it's about people more than it is about Him. Oh, I need somebody to help me. When you come to church and it's more about how you dressed or what you drive to the church house or what you have or what you don't have. When you get your eyes on everybody else and off of Him, you're slipping. It can happen to any of us. There was a focus he conceded to. There was a folly that he cultivated. Look at verse number 12 through 14 with me. He says this, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. There was a folly that he cultivated in his mind. He said, you're prospering them and you're punishing me. Preacher, how do I recognize when I'm slipping? You get your focus off of God. And then you make the folly and you start cultivating thoughts of this. Well, God, you're blessing them more than you're blessing me. Come on, help me. God, you're being bad to me and good to them. How many of you ever got that backwards? Come on now. Now, God, you're not being that good to me. This is what he was saying. They're prospering and here I am being plagued. Come on, I need somebody to help me. Because we've all had that child that said, well, my friends are getting to go and all you do is make me on restriction. I need a parent to say amen. If you love me, they let their kids go. I remember my daddy, how many of y'all heard this before? Well, if their daddy lets them jump off the bridge, are you going to do it? Heck yeah, I am, sucker. I mean, if it's all right. He cultivated this folly that God loves somebody more than he loved him. Why is it that we tie monetary blessings to God's goodness? Why is it that we look at the physical and judge God's love based off of what he gives us? Oh, I need somebody to help me right here. That's some dangerous thinking right there. Same kind of thinking that they all did about Paul. Man, if you were sent from God, you wouldn't be shipwrecked, beaten half to death all the time, about to die, naked and destitute and all these, right? Paul would have never made it in this America. Promise you this, he would not have been a member of some of these churches on TV. Paul would be like, a what? A Corvette? A what? A $64 million jet? Paul, nah, never mind. You get the point. The recognition of a slipping faith. The focus he conceded to, he had his eyes on the wrong plea, on the wrong person. The folly he cultivated, God doesn't love me as much as he loves others. The fault he confessed, I'm envious. I was in the wrong. Listen to what he says right here. He says this, he says in verse number 18, surely thou dost set them in slippery places. Thou cast them down in destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. Verse number 20, as a dream when one awaketh. So, O Lord, when thou awakest, shall thou despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I. And ignorant, I was a beast before thee. Man, there was a fault that he confessed. God, I'm thinking wrong. God, I was wrong. Come on now, help me right here. We're living in slippery places and we're trying to get out of them. The reality is that it's common, it's concealed, and it doesn't matter what your credentials are. The recognition of it, you won't never change it until you first admit it, recognize it, confront it. Can I get a witness right there? And then I want you to look at the last one and I'm done because I got to go. The revival of a slipping faith. This is what got me and this is what got me. Verse number 17, Miss Michelle, if you will. He says this, until I went into the sanctuary of God. He was struggling with this until he went where? Until he went to the house of God, he was struggling with this. He was battling this internally. Since COVID came around, since pandemics come around, we have decided and we have been told not to meet, and we have decided that we are justified in not going to church. Why go to church when I can watch it on Facebook Live? Right? Man, I'm telling you what, they changed all of society. Why go to the polling place when I can mail it in? And then they stole an election doing it. Right? Fixing to do it again, by the way. And so, what they have convinced us is that we don't need the church. Oh, I can be a Christian, Jesse, and never go to church. I can have a strong faith and a strong walk with God and never go to church because church is not needed. But the psalmist tells us that he was in a bad place until he went to the sanctuary. Man, preacher, it's just a building. What does it matter? It's not just a building. It's not just a building. You're right, the building ain't got nothing to do with it. It's not just a building. It's the fellowship with those in it. David said it like this. Michelle, go to Psalm 63, verse 1 and 2. David gives us a glimpse into this in Psalm chapter number 63. And in verse number 1 and verse number 2, David says to us, he says, I said 1 and 2, baby. That's 63:5. I told y'all she'd be messing with me. Verse number 1 of Psalm 63. He says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Now check out verse number 2. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in where? Oh, I need somebody to help me now. Y'all listen to me right here. This is going to be good. This is going to be good. Let me ask you a question. Did David see God's glory and did he see God's power when he defeated the lion with his bare hands? Oh, I'm going to go ahead and answer it for you since y'all acting like I'm trying to trap you in something. Listen here. I don't care how bad of a man you think you are. When a lion comes against you and you kill it with your bare hands, you better know God was involved in it. Is everybody all right? Are we on the same page right now? When the bear came after David, did God's power and glory not shine through? Hey, when David met Goliath in the valley, did not God's power shine through? Hey, when David was anointed, when he was all out there by himself and all of his other brothers was going before, did God not show his power and glory when he told Jesse, go get that boy? And God said, that's him. Man looketh on the outside, but God looketh on the heart. Did not David see God at work at those times? Did not David see God at work when he went out on those excursions and he won all them battles? Did he not see God work when Saul was trying to take his life in the palace and every time God was protecting him? Did David not see God's power and glory over and over in his life? But here in Psalm 63 in verse number 2, he says, hey, there's a power and a glory that I long to see, and I have only seen it in the sanctuary. He said, there's something about being in God's house. There's something about being with God's people. There's something about being in God's worship. He says, yes, I've seen the power of God all throughout my life, but nothing compares to the power and the glory of God that I've seen in the sanctuary. And Asaph said, man, I was in a bad place. I was about to slip. I was close to slipping. I was in a slippery place until I went into the sanctuary. Oh my goodness, I need somebody to hear me right here. If you think, well, you're just trying to put an emphasis on the church, you're right. Look here, I ain't begging you for money. If you want to withhold your money from God, you go right ahead and do so. But Jane, none of us can deny that we have seen the power and glory of God manifested in corporate worship way more and way more powerful than we have sitting in a tree stand, fishing on a boat, sitting around a campfire, drinking a beer with our friends, talking about God. Everybody all right? That's a country song. Or what they call country today. There was a place, the revival of a slipping faith, there was a place that changed him. Listen here, man, we got people that are slipping, and they're slipping away from the one place that can help them establish their footing. They're slipping right out the doors. The place that changed him, the perception that changed him. Verse 17 through 22, it says, until I got in the sanctuary, till I went into the sanctuary, then understood I therein. You know what he was saying? I realized that their reward is here. Oh, I'm going to say that again. He said, I realize that the reward of the wicked is right here. All they're ever going to get is right here. He said, when I understood therein, listen what he says. I understood therein. He says, surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. He said, God, you're not blessing them. What I'm seeing is only temporary. Hey, he goes on. This is good. Is everybody all right? Let me go on and let's talk about what he says. He says, nevertheless, I am continually with thee. This is the psalmist saying, God, I'm continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is my strength, or is the strength of my heart. And look here, and my portion forever. His perception changed. He said, yes, I'm not prospering here, but I'm with you continually. And one day I'm going home with you to glory. And he said, you are the strength of my heart. Look right here. And my portion, or my inheritance. You are, listen, you are my reward. There was a place that changed him, but there was a perception that changed him. What perception was that, preacher? He stopped looking on the temporal things of life and he got his eyes on the eternal. I'm reminded of 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and in verse number 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. He got his eyes off of the present. And got his eyes on the future. Last, we moving along. I'm fixing to be done. The place that changed him, the perception that changed him, the person that changed him. He said, you're with me continually. He said in verse number 23, nevertheless, I am continually with you. God, you've held me up. You've strengthened me. You've held me by my right hand. He goes on and says, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. There was a person. There was a place that changed him. There was a perception that changed him. There was a person that changed him. There was a power that changed him. He continues on, and in the last verse he says this, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. The revival for a slipping faith. You got to get in the right place. Right perspective. Get around the right person. And enjoy the right power. The power of the wicked is their prosperity. But the power that a Christian enjoys is of God. Listen, tonight you may be slipping. Dalton's coming to the piano. Tonight you may have slipped, you may be slipping. Why don't you come around the altar tonight? We're done. Come around the altar tonight. get real honest with God. Asaph did, eyes closed. You ain't got to look around. You just do business with God. Asaph got real honest with God, and he said, man, I've been slipping. My feet's come real nigh to slipping. I've come real close, God, because I got my eyes off of you, and I got my eyes on people. Maybe tonight you could say the same thing. God, I've got my eyes off of you and got my eyes on people. I lost faith, focus, God. I'm slipping. Starting to think crazy, God, thinking that you don't love me as much as somebody else. Maybe you recognize where you're at tonight. Maybe you realize tonight. Maybe tonight you want revival. You're only going to find it. Listen to me. You're only going to find it in the house of God. I know people get so upset when we say things like that. But Scripture bears witness. We're a fellowship. We're a family. We draw strength off of one another. We need one another. When we neglect that, we put ourselves in slippery places. Realize tonight, your reward is eternal, not temporary. Look beyond the present. See a future with God. Understand, as Asaph finally got a hold of, God, you are my portion. God, you are my reward. I need somebody to hear me right here, because you're trying to find acceptance and love and everything else in the things of this world and the people of this world. When God's your reward, He's all you'll ever need. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for tonight. Lord, I thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you that though I live in slippery places, God, I can avoid slipping. God, by realizing that there is a reality. Reality is I could slip. Therefore, I need to be careful. I need to recognize the indicators in my own life that I may be slipping. God, I need revival in my life. Renewal in my life. God, I'm only going to be in your sanctuary for the right perspective. Lord, focused on the right person. Lord, that being you. For you are